Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I was watching the X Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night, I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed in the following program are those of the host, guests, and or callers, and not those of Relmar McConnell Media Company, our corporate divisions or entities, the X-Zone Broadcast Network, Simul Radio, Simul TV, our staff, management, advertisers, broadcast affiliates, and affiliated broadcast networks.
Views, opinions, and conclusions expressed in the following program are those of the host, guests, and or callers, and not those of Relmar McConnell Media Company, our corporate divisions or entities, the X-Zone Broadcast Network, Simul Radio, Simul TV, our staff, management, advertisers, broadcast affiliates, and affiliated broadcast networks.
Welcome to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka, a radio show addressing the many challenging issues impacting women today and supporting the integration of balanced feminine power in the modern world. For more information on Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka, visit our website, www.ewwgw.com. Now here is your host, Ms. Gwilda Wiecka.
Hello, beautiful ladies, and welcome to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, where we explore the many facets of being healthy, balanced, well-informed, and empowered women. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka. This hour, we'll be looking at Woman Shattered. Everyone has traumatic moments, some more impactful than others. There comes a time in some of our lives that literally shatters who we are, leaving devastation in its wake. While this can be challenging in the extreme, it's also alchemical. How we manage our situation during devastating upheaval determines if we come out the other side empowered to make a difference in our world or remain forever shattered. Will we rise from our ashes victorious and powerful, or will we sink into victimhood and despair? With us this hour is a woman that's been confronted with just such a choice. Nancy Rines, author of Awakenings from the Light, 12 Life Lessons from a Near-Death Experience, is a leading voice for personalizing the wisdom of near-death experiences, developing our heart-centered intuition, and living a life of inspiration and creativity. Nancy's known for inspiring keynote speeches, workshops, and presentations on how to live a more purposeful, joyful, and heaven-inspired life. Her website, nancyrines.com. Nancy, thanks for joining us on Empowered Woman.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
Nancy, tell us about your shattering experience.
Well, it was about 5 years ago now, actually. And up until that time, my life had been one of science and math and atheism. I didn't believe in anything other than what I could see and with my own two eyes and touch with my hands. And January 3rd of 2014, all of that changed. I was riding my bicycle in town to do some errands. I lived near Boulder, Colorado at that time, and you know, the weather was really gorgeous, so I went out for my bike ride and was hit broadside by a driver who was driving a very large SUV, and it happened to be that she was texting and didn't see me. And she ran over me and dragged me underneath of her vehicle for quite a ways. Quite literally shattered my body. I had many, many, many broken bones and required surgery a few days after the accident in order to repair my spine because it was just so badly damaged. And it was during that surgery that I died for a brief time on the operating table. And that was really the opening experience for me. It was an amazing transformation all within the space of, you know, 1 2-hour surgery, where I was faced with everything that I knew that what I thought I knew in my life before that time was wrong, that I had thought about things and experienced things and put things together in the way that wasn't really reflective of reality. And that was a huge life-changing experience.
What was your life like before your accident?
Well, you know, up until, you know, that the day it happened, I was feeling like I was in a rut. I was going through the motions of, I had a job in the sciences. I was writing and doing some, you know, computer programming in a scientific related discipline in Boulder. I had gotten my degree in geology and archaeology, but had kind of moved over into science writing for most of my career. So that's what, you know, that was my job before the accident. But I, as far as what I was feeling, it was in my late 40s by that point. And I think I was feeling in a rut. I felt as though something was missing in my life, but I didn't know what that was. I was thinking, you know, because I was coming at this from a very material perspective, I was thinking that maybe I needed to change jobs or something like that.
Were you strongly intending something leading up to your accident?
I don't think so. I just knew that I had a feeling that something in my life was going to shift, but I really thought it was a job. I was really focused actually on looking for a new job, and that's what I was looking for. So I was, you know, applying to new positions around the Denver Boulder area and kind of considering what other job possibilities there might be for me. And that's what I thought it was. So that's, I guess if I was intending anything, I was intending a new job.
Well, that would be a change, right?
It would be a change.
Yeah. So what were your injuries? That sounds horrible.
Yeah. You know, the injuries were mostly to my spine, you know, all the way from my neck all the way to my pelvis. I did have a cracked pelvis and 5 broken ribs and a broken collarbone, some internal injuries and a punctured lung. But most of the breaks were in my neck and then lower back. So they were kind of in 2 separate places in my spine. So each of the vertebrae in my neck were broken in multiple places. And then the vertebrae in my lower spine, kind of the same. They were not really held together very well because they were so broken. And then one vertebrae, my first lumbar vertebrae, which is where, you know, where your spine kind of curves in your lower back. Mm-hmm. That one was basically shattered completely apart. So there wasn't anything left of that.
That sounds like a horrific recovery time. How'd that go?
Well, you know, I was before the NDE, you know, as I was laying in the hospital bed, just waiting for the surgery to happen, I was thinking the same thing, like, wow, this is going to be brutal. Mm-hmm. They brought me into surgery because what they were going to do was install titanium rods in my back to allow me to be mobile while my back healed and to allow my spine to align and heal the correct way. But still, they were predicting, I believe it was a 2 to 3 year recovery time at that point.
Right. Well, and most back injuries, they do, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of gauge it by how many bones are broken in your back. So it's typically like 1 year per shattered bone. And I had a lot. So they were expecting that to be a long time. But it turns out, you know, after my NDE, all of my physicians were very surprised because I was out of all of my casts. I healed so fast. I was out of my braces and casts it was like 4.5 weeks after surgery, which was unheard of. They were expecting me to be, you know, in these casts and braces for at least 4 months, if not longer. And it was only 4.5 weeks.
What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that. And in hindsight, I would say that it was having the NDE itself, the near-death experience, where I was awakened to a different level of consciousness. And this, I'm not alone in this. Many people who have had an experience similar to an NDE also come away with a time period where their healing accelerates. I'm not the only one. I'm not unique in this.
Do you think that's because we're kind of blown out of our beliefs that limit us?
I think it is. I think that's part of it. It's that we're, like you said, we're pulled off into being immersed in a new reality, a new way of thinking, a new way of being, which includes losing our limitations, those limiting beliefs, as you said. You know, we have these, for example, my physician's belief was that it would take, you know, 4 to 5 months in body casts for me to heal. But that's not what I believed once I came back. Once I came back, I remember, you know, came back into my body after the NDE, I remember telling my sister, my body's going to heal very quickly. It's everything else that it's going to take a while for me to adjust to. But I knew that my body would heal very quickly once I came back. Mm. And it is. We can heal very, very quickly. We don't have to be immersed in this, whatever you want to call it, heavenly realm, spiritual realm. It's really a letting go, as you said, letting go of those beliefs that we have about what our body truly is capable of.
It's amazing. Well, we're going to have to pick up on this on the other side of a short pause. Nancy and I will be back after this commercial break. You're listening to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, www.awrn.net.
Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
.com or SimulTV.com and XZBN.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember X-Zone Nation. Keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
The new nonfiction book, Razor of Madness, is similar to cult movies like Clockwork Orange, Dragon's Tattoo, or The Other Side of Hell. Wayne Morin Jr. and Thomas Lee Howe will expose widespread and systematic deficiencies in this thought-provoking tell-all novel. Mind control rages among scholars and law schools. Human rights are ignored while thought reform and mental manipulation are accepted practices used as behavior modification. Dr. Louis Jolyon West comes to mind. Media and public scrutiny shows that United States mental hospitals are in fact destructive murder industries. Razor of Madness expose novel details this epidemic through an in-depth professional and personal investigation. For decades, there has been a revolving door policy that still releases killers and pedophiles back into society. The maestro of mind control continues to haunt America to this very day. Razor of Madness is available in paperback or as a downloadable ebook at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Wilda Wiecka Radio Show, dedicated to redefining and empowering the feminine. Remember, past episodes are available on our website, ewwgw.com. I'm your host, Wilda Wiecka, and our guest this hour is Nancy Rhines. Her website, nancyrhines.com. Nancy, was there a defining moment for you after your accident when you decided to transmute your devastating experience into an empowering one?
You know, it was actually quite quickly afterward. It was, I think, within about 3 months, I knew that I either needed to embrace what I learned from my experience or go back to the miserable way that I was before. And that was about 3 months after the surgery. I just remember, I think I was out on a walk and I felt as if it wasn't just that I was at a literal crossroads on my path. It was that I was at a kind of an existential crossroads in my life. And I could sort of see before me, I could take the path of incorporating all of the stuff that I learned, which would take me on a completely different route from my scientific background that I'd been in for 20 years. I had a feeling that taking this more spiritual approach to life might result in me needing to change everything that I thought I could do it to earn money. So I was expecting that I might need to change my career at that point. Because the cold hard facts in the sciences right now, it's hard to be a very spiritual scientist. It just isn't, it's kind of frowned upon. So I knew that there might be, I might have to make a decision about that, but the decision that was before me was, okay, am I going to embrace this or am I going to forget about it and go back to the way that I used to be? And it was at that moment about 3 months afterward where I said, I just have to go with it. That's just what my heart is telling me to do. I can't deny what happened anymore. I can't turn my back on it. And that's when I really began to embrace it and to embrace the things that I learned through, you know, not just the NDE, but the recovery process as well.
It's a package, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So how did you really go about doing that? Just making up your mind and then following your promptings? Or how did that work for you?
The first part was making up my mind and being open. You know, for me, it was a process of being open to what was going to come. Because instead of me saying, this is the way that I know it's going to be, I had to very slowly allow myself to be comfortable with the unknown, but to continue to go with that feeling of rightness inside, that this path that I was on was the right path. And that was hard for me at first because I was a bit of a control freak, you know, before my accident. And the biggest first lesson that I had to come to grips with was surrendering that tight-fisted control that I had over every aspect of my life, which then allowed, you know, that universal energy, the divine consciousness to kind of come in and help me work magic on my life. So that was really the first big thing that I needed to do was really just to let go. And then it was a small process of kind of on a day-to-day basis, figuring out what else it was that I needed to shift around in my internal thinking. Mostly it was, you know, learning how to be a spiritual person day in and day out. And for me, that meant, you know, learning how to craft a spiritual practice that would eventually just become my life. At first, I needed to practice spirituality, and then the spirituality just became my life.
Well, you know, you mentioned you weren't a religious person before your NED. Was there religion in your background growing up?
I was raised as a Catholic, and I really moved away from that probably by my mid to late teens. You know, I stopped going to church, I think, when I was 13 or 14, but definitely by the time I was 17, I considered myself an atheist. So I didn't stay a Catholic for very long as a child.
But during your near-death experience, did you rethink that, or did something totally new come from that?
It was a new understanding, really. You know, I did have some spiritual guidance during my experience. And I did ask about this whole, you know, human religion thing. And what I was told really made me think over the course of the next couple of years. But, you know, what I was told is that all human religions have a core similarity. Or I should say most of them. I don't think all of them do. But the vast majority of them have, you know, some core teachings that are similar, but that none of them really are it, meaning none of them encompass the reality of what the true spiritual realm is. They're just small little mirrors of small pieces of that spiritual realm. And it's the best that we can do as humans to kind of, you know, get our hands around what spirituality really is. So for me, what it did, I think, is that it opened up the doors for me to, and it's kind of weird for me to say this now, but to really embrace the truths in all of those religions that have goodness and compassion at their core. and know that they're all part of the same bigger truth. But I don't really, I personally go to services once in a while, but I don't necessarily come out in public and condone any one religion over another, because they're all, it's all part of the same universal truth.
Do you still have physical limitations as a result of your accident?
I would, no, not really. The only thing that really didn't heal up the way that I would have liked is before my accident, I was doing some rock climbing, and my collarbone never really healed up correctly so that I can rock climb anymore, but it wasn't that big of a deal. So that's really the only thing for me that's different, is that rock climbing is a little bit painful for my shoulder. But other than that, no, I don't have any limitations. I walk, I run, I bike on trails now. I don't bike on the roads.
little PTSD going there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have a daughter, and I want to be around for her, and I don't want to take that risk again. So it's just, for me, it's good sense. I miss being able to do long rides on the road, but not enough to put myself at risk again like that.
Right. I do understand. It's a scary thing. It's just, there's just too disparate between a bike and a car,
Yeah, exactly.
Speeds and who loses when one hits. And yeah. So if you could go back and avoid the experience, would you do so at this point?
That's a good question. Knowing what I do now, no, I would not. Because it was such a game changer for me. Now, granted, it was super challenging, and obviously at first very painful physically, but it caused so much good to happen in my life and in the lives of people around me that I wouldn't trade it. I also, though, wouldn't recommend an experience like that to anyone else as a path to a greater spiritual understanding, because it truly is traumatic.
Well, let's give you a little bit of credit. How much does it have to do with your approach to the entire thing that it was transmuted?
Well, you're probably right there, because I did have the approach very early. Actually, it was within the first week of the accident. My family, this is kind of an example of that. My family wanted me, I think they wanted me to be really angry with the woman who hit me. And all I could do as I was sitting laying in my hospital bed was, I thought, I really hope that things go well for her and then she gets her life figured out. And I didn't feel bad about it. And I knew right away, maybe because of the spiritual opening, I'm guessing that's what it was. I knew that I could no longer carry anger and resentment and unforgiveness with me and still be healthy, emotionally and spiritually. And for me, that was a big step. I couldn't carry negativity of any kind with me. And that includes, negative or victimizing thoughts about what happened. I knew that if I went into that blame space, that I could easily be there the rest of my life. And I just did not want that to happen.
Yeah, it throws us right into victim, doesn't it?
Right. And it's so easy to stay in that thought process forever. I just didn't want that for myself. So instead, I began to be open to the greater awareness of love and compassion, of forgiveness, of just letting go and allowing this experience to heal me.
It's an amazing approach. It's not an easy one to find. We're going to have to eventually, here in short order, take another commercial break. But on the other side, I'd really like to get into exactly what it was like when you had your near-death experience and how it registered for you and how you were able to transmute that experience so that our listeners have a way of really embracing that kind of empowerment for themselves. It is time for another short pause. Nancy and I will return to our discussion on the other side of this commercial break, so you stay right there. This is Empowered Woman with Wilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, AWRN.net.
They're here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God, and finally, after the worship of many gods, they can...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
...received the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com, bringing the latest tools and information to support women during these rapidly shifting times. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka. Our guest this hour is Nancy Rhimes. Her website, nancyrhimes.com. Nancy, you speak of being in heaven. What made you think or know you were in heaven?
That's a really good question. Well, first of all, when I woke up in this place, that's the only thing that I could describe it as. It felt like a place. And I knew consciously, I mean, this was during my surgery, and I knew that I had gone into surgery. I knew that my body was very broken. But here I am, awake, fully alert, experiencing standing up, which by itself was kind of a miracle. I was in this conscious realm I was in. I was standing up. And I could see and feel that things were very different here. There was an energy that was very palpable on many levels. So I could see, it was kind of like everything scintillated with a glittery kind of energy. But I could also see energy coursing through basically everything around me, you know, the trees, the plants, the sky. Everything was just moving and alive with this amazing energy. And I was fully conscious, and I remember thinking, this is weird. I don't remember this ever happening before during a surgery.
You were like in a natural world kind of setting?
For me, it was. It looked... Now, granted, I've never been to Scotland, but it looks a lot like pictures I've since seen of Scotland. It was rolling hillsides, some trees and meadows around me, but kind of a misty mountains off in the distance. Very, very beautiful and serene and peaceful. There was peace and love felt like physical forces coming through me, kind of like a heat wave almost, but I could feel this energy coursing through me, and I knew it was love. It felt like unconditional love.
Do you have any Scottish heritage?
I do. I have a few families in my background that are Scottish, but I've never been over there. I've never been able to visit. One of my friends internet friends who lives over there has sent me some photos of the area around in the Highlands. I don't remember the name of the town, but when I saw those photos, I thought that's what it looked like.
So you were well under anesthetic when this happened?
Yeah, I was fully anesthetized, and anyone who knows anything about anesthesia knows that the whole purpose of anesthesia is to basically bring your consciousness down to nothing. It basically puts you into a controlled coma. And they also had given me amnesiacs in my anesthesia so that if I had woken up at any point during surgery, that I wouldn't remember it. So I was pretty well doped up on anesthesia and this amnesiac drug, but I have full recollection of everything that happened, you know, going into the surgery, during surgery, and afterward. So their drugs didn't work.
Or somebody had a better idea, right?
Right.
Did you speak to any of your doctors or anything about the experience?
I did afterward. It took me a little while, because I didn't know how they would respond to it. I just had this idea that they'd think I was a nutcase or something. So it took me a little while to talk to my physician about it. And the interesting thing was that it surprised me. He said, "Wow, that's a really cool experience. I've a lot of my patients have told me about these things, and I totally believe that they're real. I'm just glad that you said something, because it sounded really interesting and life-altering." So that opened up my heart to be able to talk to physicians and nurses about this, because I just was fearful that I just didn't want to be ridiculed. But to have him say, "Yes, I see these things happen all the time, and they're real," just made me feel so much better.
I would imagine, particularly coming from a scientific background. Did he have any thoughts about, you know, could it be hallucination? Could it be, you know, did they have any thoughts like that?
He said, and I've spoken to other physicians since then and some consciousness researchers, definitely not a hallucination. I have had one experience with a hallucination well before this, when I was given some pain medication for an injury and had a bad reaction to it. And I know what a hallucination is like. It was that hallucination was completely nonsensical, illogical, irrational. It was just kind of silly and didn't mean anything. And I knew it wasn't real as it was happening. This experience was more real than this reality that we're standing or sitting in right now. I mean, I knew it when I was there, that the world that we're in right now is merely an illusion. It's pretty convincing illusion, but I knew that spiritual reality that I was in was our true reality as spiritual beings, and that this was a temporary instance, I think is what they call it. It's an illusion from that perspective. Now, to us, it's pretty real, right? But And that's the way it's supposed to be.
So how long were you there? Do you have any way of knowing?
In Earth time, the most I would have been there was 2 hours. I was in crisis on the operating table for somewhere between a minute and 2 minutes. But my doctor said that usually what happens with these things is when you have a medical crisis like that, that's when... Now, he is a spiritual person, so he said that's when his perception is that the soul leaves the body and does its, you know, time in the spiritual realm.
Does his walkabout, huh?
Right, does his walkabout. Yeah. And it could be gone for the entire surgery. Like for me, he said, your experience could have easily lasted the whole full 2 hours, even though you weren't physically in danger that during that whole time. It's the prompting of the medical event that causes the soul to kind of exit for a while.
So what was your medical event?
I had had some kind of a reaction to the anesthesia that I'd never had before. So it basically caused my heart rate to stop and my breathing to stop and my blood pressure to crash. So it was the beginnings of bodily death. They don't call codes in the OR, which I since learned. But if they could have, it would have been a code blue.
Mm-hmm.
So it was flatlining for about a little bit over a minute is what the nurses told me later that happened. So it wasn't for me, I was very healthy going in. There shouldn't have been any interactions with any kind of drug. I had this drug before. I'd never reacted to it before. I'd had other surgeries where I'd had this anesthesia. So they did their due diligence and studied what they could give me that would work. And then it turns out it didn't work. Well, that wasn't their fault. Right. It was something that needed to happen.
Well, it worked, but apparently there was a different plan in the works than what you had in mind, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, in my work, I've had the honor of helping many people cross. When they're getting ready to die, many of them mention seeing dead relatives in the room. Did you have any of that experience?
I did not. I think my situation is perhaps a little bit different than someone who is terminally ill. The couple of days that I was in the hospital before the surgery, I wasn't really, my bones were broken, but I wasn't on the cusp of death at that point. So mm-hmm. I was fully conscious. My mind was fine. I wasn't terminally ill. As I transitioned during the surgery, I did meet up with a spiritual being as I was transitioning. And she helped me while I was there as my, guide and mentor. But she wasn't a dead relative. She was, I call her a spiritual friend, someone I'd known before in another reality. But that wasn't, she hadn't been here in this one with me in this lifetime.
Since you met her in your near-death experience, have you had interaction with her?
Occasionally, yes, I do. When I seek it out, she's very polite and is the way it should be. And so when I seek out her guidance, it's there, but it isn't thrust upon me, unintentionally.
Yeah. They're great that way. They require permission.
Right. Exactly. And if you're, I know that if something was being thrust on me, it wasn't true. It wasn't good. It wasn't pure.
Right. Right. Well, it's about that wonderful moment where we're going to need to take another break. We will return to this wonderful discussion. Nancy and I will be back shortly. So don't leave us now. You're listening to Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com. And we're coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, AWRN.net.
You have heard of the X Zone? Now watch it on Simul TV. Plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. Simul TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, Sci-Fi, and Horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simul TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simul TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
So I was watching the X-Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night, I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
Welcome back. This is Empowered Woman with Gwilda Wiecka Radio Show, EWWGW.com. We're bringing the latest information to support women as we embrace our true power. I'm your host, Gwilda Wiecka. I always love suggestions from my listeners. Email me at Gwilda@EWWGW.com and share what's on your mind. Our special guest this hour is Nancy Rhines. Her website, nancyrhines.com. Nancy, you report learning some key principles while you were on the other side. What were they?
Oh, there's so many. I put them into kind of as concise a format as I could. But the most basic one that I learned was the nature of love and the importance of really, truly living love as much as we can on a daily basis, because that forms, you know, that forms the connection not only to a romantic partner or to our kids, but to other people in the world around us. So practicing love and compassion and kindness, especially over on my blog, I've been kind of delving into kindness for the last few weeks. So those kinds of things are really important. One of the other core principles that I learned was the incredible power that each one of us has in our lives to change our lives for the better, to help other people change their lives, to be a good influence on the world around us just by living the life that is true and right for us. You know, the power that comes in knowing your truth, embracing your truth, whatever it is, and living it is something that it's so hard to put into words, but it's so big that I one of the things that I wanted to tell your listeners today was just that we are each creative and powerful beings, whether we realize it or not, and in a way that it isn't just for our own lives. You know, each one of us can impact the world. And another,
you know, that's at the base of all religions, isn't it?
Is
love.
It is.
How
it
beautiful.
Is.
I'm sorry, you're about to go on. Please do.
You know, so another key principle that kind of ties into that really is the power that comes in strengthening and forging bonds with other people, not just over the internet, not just virtually over, you know, on social media, but in reality, in this whatever physical reality is, the importance of lending a hand to other people, of being there, of allowing other people to be there for you, of just forging those connections with other humans, not just your family, but being a part of a community is so powerful, and it can be powerful in your life, and you as a part of that community can then strengthen other people as well. So those bonds, those relationships are incredibly important.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing more and more and more of this as we move towards unity, that we've gotten too far afield, spending our times, you know, on social media or facing our tablets or this or that, and which is, it's great to have that kind of outreach, but it's sometimes it's been to the detriment of these deep bonds that community can form. And that's where the strength is where you are, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's those social media tools are just that. They're tools to help you, you know, achieve this unity, this bond with other people. And, but the powerful bonds really do come from in person, you know, like, for example, when I moved here to the Tacoma, Seattle area, I decided to join up with a community garden. It's a group of, I don't know, 50 families that get together and we all garden this plot of land that nobody else wants. And we give the majority of the food to local food banks and charities. And that's one of those ways that we none of us go to the same church or believe the same things. We've got people who believe in the Hindu faith. We have Buddhists. We have Christians. We have Jewish folks. We have non-believers. Everybody comes together and enjoys each other's company because we have this common goal in mind to help other people.
That's beautiful. It's so profound, isn't it?
It feels good, and it helps other people. It's just one small way. It's just an example of how folks can come together and make a difference.
Yeah, it's huge. So how did this knowledge come to you, Nancy? Was it someone speaking to you, or how did you get this? And then how did you store it?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned before that I had a mentor or a spiritual guide during my near-death experience, and she taught all of this to me in what seemed like, if I were to put it into human terms, it felt like I was there for 2 or 3 months, even though I was only, you know, dead for a minute and a half or whatever and in surgery for 2 hours. But the amount of stuff that she taught me via verbal voice only when I couldn't understand the beyond telepathy. It was almost like a merging of minds. So she would speak to me, and I use speak in quotes, in images and pictures and feelings inside
like a download.
Of me. Right, exactly.
And then your imagination translates that energetic download into images.
Well, I got the images directly from her, the feelings, and I had to translate into English words that could then, you know, become something else later. Initially, I just took notes when I came back into my body. I started writing on a piece on notebook paper, but it came to me as a series of pictures, really profound pictures and feelings, both kind of intertwined together.
And, you know, all of our traditions have brought through their spiritual information in that form. If you really look at it, it's amazing. It's kind of like having to translate energetic information from the quantum level into, like you say, English or human terms. And they use the metaphorical landscape to do that.
Yeah, it's the common language. You know, it's easy to get the information across with pictures and feelings rather than words, because words are so limited in what they can convey, and they And the meaning of those individual words, especially in English, vary kind of from person to person. They bring in their own filter as to what that word means to them. So they kind of stripped that away and just gave me the visual. And then so I could translate that.
Were these principles just intended for your life or to be shared with others?
Initially, you know, she said they were really intended for me to change my life into one that I would, that would be a joy to live and be the one that I was meant, be the life that I was meant to live. And she said, your family and friends will probably benefit as well. And she said, at some point you may, it, other people might benefit if they choose, you know, if they want to. But that, she said, that's up to you, whether you want to share that in a bigger venue. But she said initially it was really for me, basically to get my life back together.
Well, isn't that the work? I think in our societies we have this idea that we have to go get enough knowledge and then from our lofty perch spread it. When indeed it's the rearranging and the refining of our own lives, isn't it?
It is. It's, well, the whole, what I learned is that if anybody is out there thinks that they want to transform society or make an impact in the world, the first place you start is with yourself. You know, you have to be the living example of what it is that you want to see in the world. I mean, Gandhi said that, be the change that you want to see. And what I believe he meant by that is you need to truly be that you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that's a, you know, that's a huge change. You need to really embrace it.
Yeah, you have to let go of ego and having already arrived and dig into process, don't you?
Right, it does. For me, it came down to, I hate to put it this way, but making the process repeatable on a day-to-day basis so that I got used to and got in the habit of starting my day off in a spiritual way. And that would then translate into the rest of the day and help me start the day off right. Mm.
Why do you think it's important that these messages were brought to our society at this particular time?
You know, the funny thing is that I didn't know that they needed to be. I can see what it's doing from my reader. So I basically just started sharing this stuff on a little blog at first. And I'm not going to say that it went viral, but it certainly started to reach its way out into the world without me really having to do much. That's what told me that people really wanted to learn about this. And it was less me pushing it out and more other people demanding that they get this information too, so that they could learn it. I think we're at a point in the development of the world where we know we're sort of in a growing pains time. We know that things need to shift. Each individual knows, I think, at their heart that things need to change. The change is that we're going to be coming together, I believe, as a world society rather than all these individual, you know, little countries or whatever. Mm. That doesn't mean the countries will go away, but our thinking will be
altered. Nancy, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time together. Thank you so much for being on the show and for all you bring.
Thank you so much.
Our guest this hour has been Nancy Rines, author of Awakenings from the Light, 12 Life Lessons from a Near-Death Experience. She has a blog, and I'm pretty sure you can access it from her website, nancyrines.com. Remember to join our email family to stay abreast of all the exciting new things we have coming up at ewwgw.com. While you're there, join the discussion on our blog. This has been Empowered Woman with Wilda Wiecka Radio Show, coming to you through the All Women's Radio Network, www.awrn.net. Until next time, dear sisters, stand in your beauty, stand in your truth, and embrace your power. The world needs you and everything you are.
Oh. They're here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's LAMARZULLI.net.
If you are looking for a safe, zero-calorie, natural option to the harmful artificial sweeteners on the market today, Just Like Sugar is what you're looking for. Just Like Sugar is a wonderful natural alternative for those health-conscious people who choose a calorie-restricted diet with a great, pure, sweet flavor that tastes just like sugar. Just Like Sugar is a great natural option for people suffering from diabetes and may be useful in restricted diet programs where standard sugars are not allowed and does not cause a laxative effect of some other sweeteners. Just Like Sugar comprises a perfect blend of chicory root fiber, natural calcium, natural vitamin C, and Just Like Sugar's sweetness comes from the natural flavors from the peel of the orange. Just Like Sugar is a natural alternative to harmful artificial sweeteners and will change the way that you believe all natural sweetener products taste. Just Like Sugar is available at your local Whole Foods markets, Wild Oats markets, Henry's, Sun Harvest, and many other fine natural food stores in the U.S., Canada, and worldwide.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simul TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. Simul TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, sci-fi, and horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simul TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simul TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.